Powerful. Thank you for sharing in that piece of music. I want to talk to you today about something that they just sang about. And the title of the message today is The Unshakable Kingdom. Now, I want to preface this message with a couple of things. One, I think there might be somebody here today within the sound of my voice that things around them are shaking. And so you may be one that's sitting here today that might be like, there is something that's shaking into my life. And I want you to know that you can rest in the Almighty and the unshakable kingdom. There are several of you that are here that it's like, oh, nothing's shaking in my life. And I'm going to challenge you in that thought. Because I believe that every one of us, though it may be a bigger shaking that we have from time to time, and I think if you've been in this Christian faith long enough, you know there are small shakings, and then there's some big shakings that happen. I choose to believe, as a pastor and as a friend of yours, that there's some of those shakings that come in our lives that shake us to the core. There are other things that happen that don't really bother us. But then, all of a sudden, kapow. And we find ourselves in a place that we're saying, what happened? I also believe that there's a shaking that's coming. I'm going to share with you about that in a little bit. And we all need to be ready for that shaking because it's talked about in God's Word. And when we trust in the Lord our God, we don't have to be worried about being shaken. I wonder where you put your trust. All of us here came with a purpose, and I think many of us here would say, oh, I trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. However, many of us put our trust in a variety of different areas, I believe, other than Jesus Christ. For instance, some of us have some pretty big bank accounts. Some of us would desire those bank accounts. But the truth is, I would say everybody in this room trusts your money. We do. You trust the assets you have. You say, I'm hoping for this. You trust me as a pastor, and I appreciate that trust. But what would happen if that was taken away? What would happen if all of your financial, all your material things were taken away? Where would your trust be? Again, all of us, I think, would say, well, I trust in the Lord Jesus. But it's until that time comes that you say, well, is that really true in my heart? We put our trust in the weather at times, don't we? And then it snows. Snow is coming, by the way. We put our trust in people, in a friend, in a family member, a spouse, a grandfather, a child. We put our trust in our physical abilities. Some of us can do amazing things with our physical bodies. And we put our trust in that. And we even lift that up, if you will. We put our trust in our intelligence. Some of you are so intelligent, it's incredible. Some of you have so many weird facts in your life about you that you know, weird trivia. How do we do that? And we put our trust in that. Well, if all else fails, I'll be able to work my way through this one because I'm smart. We put our trust in our country. We put our trust in so many things. Now, I want to ask you, do you put your trust in the one who is declared as unshakable? He cannot be shaken. You can try to rattle him. You can try to tear the kingdom down. You can shake it at the depths, but there is a kingdom that is unshakable, regardless of what we do or what we say. And I wonder if we truly tapped into God's unshakability. That's a new word today. Unshakability. I don't know if it's a real word, but that's okay. He's unshakable, and I wonder if you trusted in the kingdom of unshakability. So I ask this question, where do you shake? And I encourage you to give that part to the unshakable one. I want you to join me in scripture of Hebrews chapter 12. I'm going to start at verse 25. I'm going to go through the end of the chapter. Here's what it says. See that you do not refuse him who is speaking. For if they did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, much less will we escape if we reject him who warns from heaven. At that time, his voice shook the earth, but now he has promised. Yet once more, I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens. This phrase, yet once more, indicates the removal of things that are shaken. That is, things have been made in order that the things cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, let us be grateful, or you might have a version that says, let us receive grace for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, and thus let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe. For our God is a consuming fire. The first thing I want you to see here is don't refuse who is speaking. Now, who is speaking? It says, do not refuse him who is speaking. Moses was one of the guys who was speaking. So you have to go back to the Old Testament. And last week, we talked about that a little bit. Last week, we talked about the word that we received on Mount Sinai, that everybody was scared to go to Mount Sinai because of the word that was being received. One of the words that was being received was what? What came on the two tablets? What were they? Ten Commandments. They came on the two tablets. And that was the word that was received. Now, I'm assuming, I'm believing, I'm hoping, I'm trusting that all of you still believe in the Ten Commandments and that you try to abide by those. It was in this day of June 28 of 2005. On that day, the Supreme Court ruled that the Ten Commandments could not be displayed in public schools. Now, some of you on that day were all up in arms, and you're like, oh, what's going to happen? And let me tell you, God's kingdom continues to go, whether the Ten Commandments are displayed on a public school or on a public ground, wherever it might be, his Ten Commandments still are there. So don't refuse the Ten Commandments that are there. The author is telling these people, do not refuse who is speaking. Have you ever refused someone who is speaking? You've got to catch this here. The author doesn't say, do not refuse the speaking. That's important. Don't refuse him who is speaking. So who is speaking? God is speaking. Don't refuse listening to God. Hear me in this. I believe this is a key point for the scripture today. I believe this is key. Don't refuse him who is speaking. Now, some of you need to hear this. You need to not refuse the speaking, because there's speaking that happens, like the Ten Commandments. You can't refuse that. But there's another part of it. Don't refuse God who is speaking. There's something that's different that happens there. I hope you hear the disconnect. When you refuse what is being said, you still don't refuse me. Okay, let's say you're like, I don't agree with you, Pastor Steve. I don't agree with you. Okay, you might refuse what I'm being said, what is being said, but you're not refusing me. There's a disconnect there. I hope you're with me on that. And so what this scripture is saying, you can't refuse God who is speaking. Now, sometimes you might say, well, I don't agree with you on this one, God. Well, trust me, he'll get through to you. Don't refuse him who is speaking. It's God. Sometimes when you were growing up, you refused the speaking of your father. Maybe you're still there. My kids never do that, of course. I don't think you guys agreed with me. Do you refuse your dad speaking, Hudson? No, thank you. If you didn't see him, he was going like this. But there's something that happens when you refuse him instead of refusing the speaking. I hope you think on that one this week. That's a good one. Jesus warned on earth. God warns from heaven. When Jesus was on earth, he didn't just come around and say, God is love. Let's all just get along and all have a wonderful family. He spoke with fervency and with power. When he came to earth, his voice shook the whole earth. For if they did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, much less will we escape if we reject him who warns from heaven. There was also, you might remember this, when Jesus died, there was an earthquake that happened. From about noon to 3, several of you several weeks ago enjoyed the eclipse that happened. And that lasted the darkness down in Nebraska. How long, Professor Short?
2 minutes and
30 or 40 seconds. Come on, Professor Short. Come on. It's supposed to be like 2 minutes, 36 seconds, and yeah, no, that's 2 minutes and 30 seconds. It was dark in a certain part of our world. But for 3 hours when Jesus died, it became dark. And then when he died, do you know what happened? There was an earthquake. Hear what happened. You might have read this. This is one of those, if this question ever comes up when I'm teaching, I look over at Dr. Turner and say, Dr. Turner, you address this one. And this is here. The earth shook and the rocks were split. I'm fine with that. I'm good with it at this point in time. But then it says, the tombs were opened and many people who had died were raised. Now that's when I say, Dr. Turner, what exactly happened there? And that's when, or Pastor Ron, what? You guys fill in on this one. You guys have more. I don't understand that. But I do know this, that it happened. And I know there was an earthquake that took place when Jesus died. And everybody felt it. Scripture goes on to say, though we have received a kingdom that is unshakable. I wonder if for you, as I mentioned already, is there an earthquake in your life? Maybe if there is, there is a time for you right now to turn to the unshakable one. I think there are a couple facts that we need to get from this passage when it talks about the shaking that happens. I think this, number one, shaking will happen. And number two, if you don't depend on him when you pass on from this life, you won't be in his unshakable kingdom. Others proclaim success, hope, peace, life, joy, etc., but only Jesus provides for you the unshakability in his kingdom. When we're going through difficult tragedies as a nation, such as hurricanes and earthquakes and shootings, and some people are, this is sad, but it's true. Some people pass away in all of this stuff. It's true. You know the deaths that have happened because of these things. However, if we are to pass away in one of those, when these shakings have come, we have an unshakable kingdom that will last forever. Romans 14, verse 8. For if we live, we live to the Lord. And if we die, we die to the Lord. So then, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. I brought with me a colander this morning. This is supposed to sift things. Now, there's a disconnect here. Even the song that was sung, I agree with the words. And if you hear the words of the song, they start off, we trust in our God. And it says, we will not be shaken. But hear me in this. I believe there are times when we get shaken. And we're like, oh, no. And that's when you say, I've got to put all my rocks into the Lord's colander, if you will. And though I'm being shaken and sifted, I can trust in the Lord our God. So if you want to take this home, are you in the Lord's colander? You've probably never been asked that before. Are you in the Lord's colander? Because there's a sifting, there's a shaking that happens, but these rocks that are in here aren't going to go anywhere. Oh, yeah, there's going to be some dirt that comes off of them a little bit, but this one's not going to. It's going to stay right in here. And though it's being shaken, there is something that is more powerful than that rock. That colander is going to hold. We can be a part of the kingdom that is unshakable. Daniel 7:18, but the saints of the Most High shall receive the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, forever and ever. Sometimes we have a hard time with this concept, though, because we can't see this kingdom. We can't see this unshakable kingdom, but it is there. In Isaiah 28, verse 16, behold, I am the one who has laid a foundation in Zion, a stone, a tested stone, a precious cornerstone of a sure foundation. In verse 28, it says this, therefore, let us be grateful. There's another version, and I pointed this out as I read it. Let us have grace. Don't think that you can just get in this kingdom because you're great. Receive that grace of his kingdom. Now, that's powerful. When you receive the grace of his kingdom, then you can be unshakable with his power. In Romans 9, verse 33, behold, I am laying in Zion a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. Now, one other thing I want you to see about kingdom. When it says kingdom, you got to focus on that first word, kingdom. Don't be dumb and go to the king. if you want to take that, feel free. But know that in a kingdom, there is a king. And when you know that king, then you don't have to worry about being shaken in that kingdom if you know the king. Sometimes, though, we resist the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords in our lives. It says this, therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, and thus let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe. A commentator says this, the tone of the whole chapter, we might rather say the whole epistle, is presented in this combination of grace and acceptable service with awe and reverent fear. See, we are battled every day for our allegiance to Almighty God, and I ask, are you and I going to trust him? Are we going to trust God? Because of this unshakable kingdom, we should worship God. And then this passage ends with this. Our God is a consuming fire. Now, when you look at that, I'm like, what does that have to do with anything about the unshakable kingdom of God? I mean, it seems like there's a disconnect here. And what is the author? We're talking about this unshakable kingdom, and you were warned on earth, and there's more coming, and our God is a consuming fire. We've sung songs of that. Our God is a consuming fire. So what is he saying here? In Exodus chapter 24, verse 17, it says, now the appearance of the Lord was like the devouring fire on top of the mountain in the sight of people of Israel. In Deuteronomy 4, verse 24, for the Lord your God is a consuming fire, a jealous God. So here's what I think he's saying here. And maybe you would see it a little different, but this is what I say. When we allow God to, we receive the grace of God and he consumes us, then we understand the unshakable kingdom. But until we allow God to really consume us as that fire, we have difficulties understanding that unshakable kingdom. When I was a senior in college, I was asked to make a little bonfire for the homecoming festivities at Oklahoma Wesleyan University. My friend and I, named Jason, we were planning to make the biggest fire that the school had ever seen. Now, I know in recent days there was a college, I think maybe in Texas, that they had cranes that they would bring in and make some gargantuan fires. We weren't going to do that. I mean, we weren't getting any crane. However, we wanted to have a fire that was going to be awesome. So we went and got our fire and we got it all set up. And then somebody came to Jason and said, I have some cedar shake shingles. And this is what the guy said. They burn hot, but they burn fast. Great. That's what we want. We want to have a fire. So we went and got the cedar shakes, or he actually even dropped them off in the parking lot of the soccer field. And so we were anticipating, and we were excited about it. We were probably a little too excited about it, actually, because we wanted this thing to be like when people came, right? supposed to start at 9:30 or whatever, and so we're watching our watches. What time is it going to be? What time is it going to be that we get this thing going? And when people come, they're going to be like, wow, that's the biggest fire. You know, here in 2017, they'd have some fire at the homecoming, and they'd be like, but it wasn't like the fire of 1995. Now, that was a fire. I mean, we'd live on in history, right? So we set that thing about, we were trying to figure out what time it would go, and I think we lighted it probably about 9:05. And about 9:10, it was the best bonfire. But you know who remembers that best bonfire? Jason and I. Because it burned hot, and it burned fast. By about 9:15, it was like, you know, poor fire. Sometimes when we come to the Lord, we're like a cedar shake. We burn hot and we burn fast. And then the reality comes in that we're shook around a little bit. And our fire just kind of... Sometimes in the life of the church, we even pull ourselves out of the church body because, well, that church just wasn't doing it for me. So we pull ourselves out, and then we're just like, you know this, just like a little coal all by yourself. For our God is a consuming fire. If you're with God every day, I believe that he consumes you. I hope that he does. The beginning of this chapter, it says, looking to Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith, don't douse the spiritual fire in your life. Don't let the cares of this life separate the logs to create a lukewarm fire. Let it burn. Let God consume you, and may there be a consuming fire that just rises up within you that nobody else or everybody else can see it, and they don't know where it comes from, but you know it comes from that consuming fire of Almighty God. What does fire do? Fire purifies, it cleanses, it changes. You put a log in the fire, it doesn't stay a log, it changes. May God ignite a fire in you that cannot be put out. Here's another commentator. It is the grim thought, but in it, there is the eternal truth that if a man is true to God, he gains everything. And if he is untrue to God, he loses everything. In time and in eternity, nothing really matters save loyalty to God. I need to go back to an earlier concept, because here's what the scripture says that I haven't touched on yet, and it's coming, and I want you to know this. The scripture says that there was a shaking, but the scripture says that there's going to be a shaking. The scripture says this, yet once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens. Now again, we can have a debate on what this means by the heavens. Does this mean Mars and Jupiter? Does it mean as far up? I don't know, but I know that there's going to be a shaking that's going to be something. It's going to be powerful. It's going to shake the heavens and the earth. This is what God is telling us from the scripture. So what is coming? At the end times, there is going to be an earthquake. Here's what it says in Isaiah. I will make the heavens tremble, and the earth will be shaken out of its place at the wrath of the Lord of hosts in the day of his fierce anger. If you read Matthew 24, you see that in the end times, what will happen? Nation will rise against nation. Kingdom will rise against kingdom. There'll be famines and earthquakes in various places. There'll be wars and rumors of wars. Those are a sign for us as believers. When do we get to the point? What is happening that has pointed us to the greater shaking that is coming? We watch our TV screens and we think about these hurricanes and we think, oh my, it's what's happening. It's what has been mentioned. Here are the signs of the pains. All these are beginning of the birth pains. God is putting together a kingdom than of greater compare than you and I can even think of. We have a couple of babies in our congregation. One of those is right up here today, little Olivia. It's one of those things that I don't understand women that give birth. I mean, there's a lot of pain associated in birthing a child. And you mothers that have done that, kudos to you. I seem to believe that if there was a focus on the pain, that we'd have a lot of one-child families, right? You moms out there is like, what are you thinking? You have one kid, and you think, and I've been in the delivery room. That wasn't like one of those, whoo, this is great. My wife is enjoying this. No, she didn't enjoy that. And then the little baby comes, and then it's like, oh, let's have another one. What do you mean? Do you remember? I was with a guy one time, and he was telling me about, he was watching the monitor with his wife, and he was watching the contractions go up and down on the screen, and of course she was in pain, and then there was one that didn't go up very high, and, she, and he said this, oh, that didn't look like it was so bad. She said, get over here. Yet once more, I will shake not only the heaven, the earth, but also the heavens. There is coming a time when all the earth and all of the heavens are going to be shaken, and that's when Jesus comes again. So when you see some of these labor pains that are going on and some of these things you're wrestling through in your labor pains of your spiritual life, you've got to know that there's an unshakable kingdom that's coming. God is preparing us for this. This author is saying this. Remember the quaking on the mountain? Remember the shaking that happened when Jesus died? There is going to come another shaking, but it's not going to affect us because we are a part of the unshakable kingdom. In September of 1989, there was a Category 5 hurricane named Hugo that affected Guadalupe, St. Croix, and Puerto Rico. It took 34 lives in the Caribbean, and then in South Carolina, it took 27 when it landed there. A letter was sent from Christians in St. Croix, that contained these words at the end, and hear these. Hugo has further reinforced in our minds the importance of holding loosely to material things, those things that we trust, our house, our finances. Goes on. In one night, accumulated wealth for which people had labored for many years was turned over to wind and rain, which were soon followed by the thieves. We know another shaking is coming. Let us with grace receive the ones who consume us that will not let us go. You need to know this today. If you are a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, you through grace get to be a part of the kingdom that cannot be shaken. Know this. Live in this. Rest in this. Trust in the unshakable kingdom. And I'm going to close this service with the words from the psalmist. Again, as I preach this message, I believe this. There may be one or two of you, three or four of you that's in a place in your life where it is being shook like crazy. Trust in the unshakable one. Some of you don't have that going on right now, but you remember a time and you say, praise be to God, I'm not there. And it may be coming. But I want you to hear these words from the psalmist today. If you need to, close your eyes. If you don't need to, that's fine. Here's what it says. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Selah. Stand with me this morning. Lord God, I pray for everybody that's here today. I pray for the person who's not jumped into your kingdom yet because they haven't received your grace. I pray, according to Hebrews chapter 12, that they would do exactly that, that they would receive grace from you and that they would be in the kingdom that is unshakable. Lord Jesus, I pray for a believer that's here today, somebody who trusts in you, but their kingdom is just seeming to be shooken to pieces. I pray that you would reach down right now and remind them of your word, that you are with us, and may they be still and know that you are God. God, I pray that you would consume us with your fire and that we would not leave from this place without saying yes to you and that you would consume us. And then, Lord Jesus, as we look for the days to come, your word has told us here, yet once more you're going to shake the earth and also the heavens. We know that is coming. We see the wars and the rumors of war. We see the nations rising up against nations. We see famines and earthquakes and all those signs. And so, Lord, I pray that we would tie into you and we would not fear when all these things happen because we know that we have you as the person of unshakability. You have the unshakable kingdom and you reign in that kingdom. And so, Lord, we bow down to you today and we ask that you would help us not to fear, but that we would face those days with great power only from you. And so, Lord Jesus, I pray that for this group of people. I pray that for myself. And I pray that as we go forward today, that no matter what happens this week, we will know that you are unshakable and we can trust in you. Thank you for your kingdom that is unshakable. We believe, we hope, we trust in you, you the God who is our refuge and strength. We praise your name today. We pray this all in the mighty and the powerful name of Jesus, amen.